Welcome to Waterbrook Church, located in Victoria, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Kevin Dibley brings us the message, Let the Peoples Praise You, O God. Let's read, meditate, and pray through Psalm 67 together as we worship this final Sunday of 2017.
This morning, here's where we're going. You know, my desire for you as a church family, what doesn't matter how old you are, is that you would live your life determined by the promises of Scripture, not by the problems of the world. And many times, the thing that shapes our lives and our thinking is how we feel about what's happening around us. And so sometimes, what you get in the news and what happens in your own personal life begins to dominate your hope and your faith and your activity. And one of the things I wanted you to see during the month of December around the story of Christmas is that almost all of the Old Testament prophecies about the coming of Jesus. So some of you know, let me just ask, anybody give me an Old Testament verse that comes to mind when you think about the coming of Jesus at Christmas?
He'll be born of a virgin.
He'll be born of a virgin, right? And comes from Isaiah. And his name shall be called?
Emmanuel.
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Also says his name shall be called? Emmanuel. And a lot of our prophecies come from Isaiah. Well, Isaiah is when it was the darkness was about to fall upon the nation. In fact, that's what we studied a few weeks back, that Isaiah says, in the year King Uzziah died. And it was just kind of like a really bad time for the nation. And it was about to get darker. How many of you have seen the Lord of the Rings series? My daughter, Kathy, I think, has read the Lord of the Rings trilogy like four times or something, but I'm talking about the movie. There's a scene in the movie where Frodo is amongst the elven people, and he meets the elven queen, and she gives him a vial. Anybody remember that scene? She hands him a vial. Does anybody know what was in the vial? Light. I don't know. Ralph, you said that. That's good. Ralph, you know the Lord of the Rings. That's great. Not only can he pray with a mic going in and out. there's light in there. And she gives this to Frodo, which he pulls up much later at a very dark time. And she says, may this give you light when the darkness gets even darker. And when I forget the line. It says something like, when all other lights are gone. And that's really what the prophecies are like in the Old Testament. So I want you to take your Bible, and I'm going to take you to a famous verse about the birth of Jesus, and you'll know this when you go there, Micah chapter 5. And I'm going to have a few people help me out here during the service at different points in time. But Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, most of you, if you know the Christmas story, will know this verse. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And can I get somebody to read it for me? Then I don't have to. All right, Zoe, you want to read? Zoe, this is what I'm going to get you to do. Come on up here, hon. Do you mind coming up and standing beside me? Is this mic going to work for her? All right. I'm going to get you to read more than one verse. Okay, so read two verses, and because I can't see it, I'll tell you when I want you to stop. So you got that good? Go ahead.
Hear my cry for help.
Oh, no, wait. That's a great verse, but you're in the Psalms. Okay, so let me help you find. Oh, Marianne's got it here. Can you read that small print? Man, look at that. That's microfiche. Okay, you see Micah 5:2? Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
But you, Bethlehem.
Of Ephrathah.
And the rest of his brothers returned to join the Israelites.
Perfect. Right there. Great reading. Wow, give her a hand. Wow. Thanks, sweetie. Thanks, Zoe. That was great reading. That's a tough passage. I forgot about. So you know that passage of Scripture, right? Where would the Messiah be born?
Bethlehem.
And he would be born in Bethlehem, and he would be what kind of a ruler? It says that in the last part. What will he do? He will rule his people as a shepherd. He'll shepherd his people. So we have that written 700 years about before the coming of Jesus. Now, I won't show you all of what Micah teaches, but the book of Micah is a really depressing book, just so you know. For the first 3 chapters and into the 7th chapter, at one level, all that we're being told is that Assyria and Babylon are coming, and God is not going to stop them. And so in the middle of this, we have a promise that a Messiah would come, Jesus would come as a shepherd, and that's like the one light that they would hold on to through the dark. In fact, Zoe, you read that in Micah chapter 5, but if you see, I think it's verse 3 there, it says that God would do what with them? It's 3 or 4. He would abandon them until she who was with child would give birth. And from this time on, for 700 years, till the time Jesus is born in Bethlehem, it's darkness. All they had to hold on to was the promise. Now, the thing I like about Micah is in Micah chapter 4, there's some cool prophecies. And in Micah chapter 4, anybody, Gail, you're a good reader, hop up here and read for me here. And I'm going to get you just to read till I tell you to stop in chapter 4, verse 1. It's going to be like the first 10 verses.
King James, is that all right?
Yeah, well, I'll translate any. Can't you read American?
She could read it in Hebrew.
Yeah, that's right, she could. Okay, go ahead and start reading chapter 4. Okay, I'll tell you up front what you should listen to. The promises that are about to come in the Messiah are going to be for all the nations. And this is going to have a global impact. Okay, so go ahead and read.
But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. Many nations shall come. They shall say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. He will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among many people, rebuke strong nations far off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore.
Isn't that great? Why don't I just stop there? Do you not love that passage of Scripture? What is it saying that's going to happen?
Peace.
Peace, right? Global peace. And what's going to happen is that whatever God does amongst his people is going to affect all the nations. Later on in chapter 5, it says God is going to scatter them, but then they will be like the dew in the rain that covers the grass. Have you ever tried to walk out in your yard after a rain? Okay, maybe you're not like me. There are times that I run out to the truck in my sock feet. You ever do that? Or you see something in the backyard and you think, I'm just going to run out in my bare feet under the backyard. And then you walk out and you realize, oh, there's been dew last night. And then you have that decision, do I just get wet or do I go back in? And that's what he says it's going to be like. Everywhere you go, God will have his people that he's calling to himself. Friends, that's the promise in the Messiah. That anchored them when it was dark. And that promise was realized in the coming of Jesus in Bethlehem when he was born. And that's the hope for all of us. He will have people everywhere who will be coming to hear about his. And when he rules them, all war will cease. They'll hammer their swords into plowshares, which is, instead of going to war, we'll go to farming. Right? And that'll be great. That everywhere the heartbeat of the gospel will go. So I've invited one of, thanks, Gail. I've invited one of our artists here at Waterbrook to show you and to explain to you one of her latest pieces. So Deb Barsh, you want to come up and show what you did here? Do you want me? Maybe I can hold it so everybody can see it. Yeah. This is where Paul and I trip and shatter a piece.
oftentimes when pastors...
Hold it up closer.
Oftentimes when pastors preaching, I get visions from the Lord. And this one was throughout this past year, you know, when you see the United States, and so the states are by ethnicity or Democrat, Republican, and all these different boxes, you know, that we're all identified in, but under it all, we're all the same. We all have a heart, and before the Lord, I just put the number of souls in each state, and this is a heartbeat of God throughout the United States and how he's mending this stitching of embroidery where he's mending hearts. And in this hope, he gave me Psalm 33:8, some of the verses, and it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his inheritance." And as his heritage, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth, and he who fashions the hearts of them all, this was the key words, and observes all their deeds. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our hope and our shield, for our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. And so, you know, hearing all this negativity and offense on the news and all around. As the people of God, you know, he has strategically placed us throughout the country. And so he uses us to heal and to mend and break the dividing line, because he calls us to be one, even as he and the Father are one. So what we hope in is we hope in who he is. We hope in his word, because in this day and age, I was talking to a pastor about this generation of being so stressed and have anxiety. You know, we need to be anchored and have a hope in the Lord and to be a blessed nation, you know, whose hope is in the Lord. So when things get dark and people get offended and all these things, we need to remember that we're all the same, and there is a lot of souls who do not know the Lord, and the harvest is really ripe.
Excellent. Excellent. Thanks, Deb. That's great. Yeah. So what comes out in Deb's artwork there is what comes out in the scriptures, that when the Messiah comes and begins to shepherd and bless his people, and his heart begins to beat in us, and he scatters us, like Micah says, so that we're like dew on the grass, what will end up happening is through us, the hope will come to the nations, to our neighbors and to the nations. And so he strategically places us with a heartbeat for Jesus so that as we are blessed, the people around us come in direct contact with him. Christ living in us, not just us, but the life of Christ beating in us blesses nations, neighbors, and generations. That good news? That's the good news of the gospel, and God is doing that. So having said that, I'm going to ask you to turn to a prayer in Psalm chapter 67. And in Psalm 67, the prayer that David has there is a prayer that God would so bless us that through us, others would come to hope in him. God bless us so that others. And we're going to walk through this. I'm going to pray about three things that I see that come out of Micah and then come out of this prayer. The first thing I want us to see is a prayer that God would bless us so that Oh yeah, I forgot I made notes here. Prayer for the nations to know the salvation of God through the testimony of our people. All of that put together as God gives grace to us. See, some of you may ask the question, how do I share my faith with my family? How do I tell other people about Jesus who don't believe in him or who I go to school with? And the answer is, in large part, tell them what he's done for you. Amen. You don't have to kind of win the intellectual argument and enter into debate. Tell them your story. And so the prayer is that we would have a story to tell as God works in us. So I've asked my friend Juan Carlos to come up. And this mic, or you got a mic here. Go to Psalm 67. And if you don't have Psalm 67, get the Spanish translator next to you. No, I'm going to get you to read in sections here, Juan. Marianne, tell me where it breaks there. Is it 1 to 3 that the first break is, or 1 and 2? 1 and 2. Okay, so look at verses 1 and 2. Go ahead, Blanca.
Dios tenga misericordia de nosotros y nos bendiga. Haga resplandecer su rostro sobre nosotros, para que sea conocido en la tierra tu camino, en todas las naciones tu salvación.
All right, so you got that? What I always do, since I have a Spanish family, is I look for certain words. but in that, the prayer is that we would be blessed so that we might make known the ways of the Lord to those around. And so I used had Wonka and used him to serve today for the simple reason that in Micah's passage that we see all the nations, different tongues and peoples coming to hear the word of God. And then declaring the word of God based not simply on an intellectual knowledge of the word of God, but based on an experiential knowledge of the word, the living word, Jesus Christ. And so I've asked my friend, you can stay here because I'm going to get you to read all the way through, brother. I've asked Bruce Eaton, who is one of the leaders in our outreach team, to come and pray for Waterbrook this morning. And the prayer is that God would so affect us in our own experience of him, that we would go and tell others the testimony of how good he is. Is God good to us, folks? Yeah. Have we been blessed? Yeah. And do we want others to know just how good he is? Absolutely. So let's make that our prayer. So Bruce, you want to lead us in prayer?
Bow with me, please. Dear, loving, merciful Father, we come this morning with thankful hearts that you are a compassionate and merciful God. We thank you that your patience and grace for each person here today demonstrates your unfailing and loyal love to each of us. As David writes in Psalms, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on his loyal followers. For he knows that we are made of clay, and he realizes that we are feeble. Father, we are in awe that you've chosen the weak so that your glory and grace would be revealed. Lord, this morning as we look to the new year, we ask that each of us here today would be refined in you so that your glory would be reflected in our lives. Help us to be a godly people, and as Apostle Paul admonished the Colossian Christians, we ask that you would help us and clothe us with the heart of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And to these virtues add love, which is the perfect bond, Lord. Lord, we ask that this morning, that by our witness and testimony, many would come to know you. And we ask that you would soften our hearts of stone and give us the compassion that you had for the lost. Lord, help us to seek your kingdom first, as it says in Matthew 6:33. And we ask that your nations would be humbled and they would bow before your throne, Lord. Give us a mighty witness here at Waterbrook. We ask that each one of us in our daily lives would see people as you see them. We just ask that you glorify your church with your love, your kindness through us. Help us to be great reflections of you. We ask all these things in the precious and merciful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Bruce. In the next part of Psalm 67, and you recall back in Micah, the promise was that when people were affected by the gospel and came under the rule of the shepherd, they would put away all their warring. And Micah is really a big indictment on injustice. Injustice almost at every level of the society. Some of you know Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Anybody have it memorized? He has shown you, oh man, what is good. Anybody finish that for me or give it a stab?
Love justice.
To love justice. That's right. To love justice, to seek, depends on your translation, to seek kindness or to seek mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Great summation. That's the indictment that they haven't been living by. Well, the promise in this psalm, and I'll get Juanca to read here from Juan Carlos to read from verses 4 down to 5. What this text teaches is that when justice comes through the people of God to the nations, they will find joy. And the Bible doesn't separate joy and justice. You know what it's like to live where there's injustice. Where there's injustice, sorrow abounds. Where justice comes, there's great gladness and joy and heartfelt praise. So I'm going to ask Juan Carlos, brother, if you would read. Let's read verse 3 to 5.
Te alaben los pueblos, oh Dios. Todos los pueblos te alaben. Alégrense y gócense las naciones, porque juzgarás los pueblos con equidad y pastorearás las naciones en la tierra. Te alaben los pueblos, oh Dios, todos los pueblos te alaben.
That's great. The great news there in that passage of scripture is to go back to Micah and remember in Bethlehem would be born a king who would be a shepherd. And so he would come and shepherd people in it with justice. And so, you know, one of our prayers here at Waterbrook, we have so many ministries involved. You know, the Quiners are involved, Gales involved in ministry. We have the ministry that's involved with trafficking and justice, Trafficking Justice West, where we're seeking to be involved in sex trafficking, particularly in the Twin Cities. And Tim's involved down at the Union Gospel Mission. One of the things that's true of Waterbrook is we have a lot of people who've committed themselves to adoption and making our family larger because of God's grace. And so all of these things bring joy. And the desire for us is to see the world change. Well, one of the members of our church family, God's got a hold of for the last little while to work for justice globally and missions globally, is Steve Kowalki. And Steve doesn't say a whole lot publicly, but he works for Heaven's Family. He's one of the leaders on a ministry called Heaven's Family, which has got its fingertips in nations all over the world. And so I've asked Steve to come this morning and pray for justice for the nations and that God would, through us, impact the nations for their joy. So, Steve, you want to come up and lead us in prayer for that? I got it right. Heaven's Family, right?
Yep.
I always say Heaven's Children. And then
Heaven's Kids.
Heaven's Kids.
All right, let's pray. Father, in Psalms you say, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. You also say that I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and will execute justice for the needy. Lord God, we know that injustice occurs in this world because of our sin and our fallen nature. But we also know, Lord God, that that's not your ultimate plan. Lord, we pray specifically for the ministries that are working for your kingdom to restore justice in this world. We pray specifically for the ministry that's going to happen around the Super Bowl this year. We pray for those men and women who are caught up in slavery and sexual trafficking who are going to be brought into this town. I pray, Lord God, that you watch after them. I pray that you give those people who have a heart to go out and give them give these folks a sense of life and purpose through your son, Jesus. Lord God, we just pray that your Holy Spirit is all over this town as that comes into Minneapolis. Lord, we pray for the people of North Korea who are surrounded by incredible darkness that's growing every day, Lord God. We know that there are believers there. We pray that that you provide light to them in this time of supreme darkness. We know that only you can bring light into that country. I pray, Lord, that you give the people who have a heart for the North Koreans strength to battle against that incredible darkness there. We pray for the Christians in Egypt who are being murdered because they're going to church. We pray for people in Iran who are struggling to worship you, Lord God. All these people, we know that you say that the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Lord God, I pray that you turn the heart of the leaders of these countries so that they can see your light, so that they can become part of your family and restore the Christians to a sense of justice in those countries and allow others to see the light. Lord, ultimately, it's all through Jesus. And in Isaiah, you say, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised heel he will not break, and faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice." Lord, we know that the only solution to injustice in this world is your Son. And Lord God, we lift you up, we bless you, we praise you, because you have given us the ability to see justice because of your Son. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So even as we're praying through these things, I hope what you're seeing from the Word of God is that in the darkest moments of human history, the promises of God have sustained God's people. And that the Scriptures echo with the sense that God is up to something. So here's the question I want to pose to you this morning before we read the last of Psalm 67. Where is your faith at in terms of God's ability to use you and to use me and to use us together in the midst of the darkness to make known the source of life and joy? Where is it? Because really, the issue at stake is not that the arm of the Lord is too short, that he cannot save. And the issue at stake is not that God is somehow reluctant to help those who are brokenhearted and in need, is he? I mean, he sent his own Son into the world to bring that answer. The struggle that we have is in the day-to-day weariness of living in this world, we sometimes lose heart. We sometimes lose hope. We sometimes lose focus. And so what we really need to pray this morning for is that Waterbrook would be filled with the kind of faith that causes it to venture forward where it has never gone before and to attempt things we've never attempted before. Do you believe God's into that? Do you believe God is able to do that? Do you believe that God desires that for us? So God help us, right? God help us. So we're going to read the last part of Psalm 67, which is a praise. It's all praise all the way through this, but it is a plea with the Lord, and it's a statement of confidence at the end that the Lord will bless us, that the ends of the earth will fear him. That's a great statement. It's not a question. It's a statement of confidence. So Juan Carlos, would you read the last two verses? Read five again. Sorry, let's read the last three verses, 5-7.
Te alaben los pueblos, oh Dios, todos los pueblos te alaben. La tierra dará su fruto, nos bendecirá Dios, el Dios nuestro. Bendíganos Dios y témanlo todos los términos de la tierra.
Amen. Is that great news? That the Lord will bless the nations because he will bless us. And the reverence that's described in Micah, that the nations would revere and come to the kingdom of God and say, let him rule over us. Not us, not ourselves. And so that is a great testimony. You know, a very good sermon, this last year was preached by our brother Andy Keppel on trusting the Lord in dark places and difficult times. And I've asked Andy to come and pray over Waterbrook's faith, that God would strengthen our faith as we go forward. So, brother, would you come up and pray? This is a prayer for all of us, and I'm going to invite you to pray with Andy on behalf of your own heart first, but also the confidence of our church family going forward. So, brother, please.
Lord God, I thank you for your mercy. Lord, for the love and the faithfulness you have shown me, you have shown us this year, especially at the times when I have found myself distant from you as a result of my own unfaithfulness, God. I thank you for your promises of your love and your faithfulness, for the evidence that we see in creation, in history, and in Scripture, of your unwavering commitment to save your people and glorify your name, God. Thank you for not simply looking down on your creation with a detached and dispassionate heart, Father, but for stepping into our brokenness and being the light in our darkness. You not only care for our creation, for your creation, God, but you redeemed it through the blood of your Son in the ultimate act of love, assuming our guilt and trading it for your righteousness. And finally, demonstrating your love to us on the cross, God. You displayed your faithfulness to your creation, and you didn't just proclaim what we should be, Father, but what we could be through the power of the Holy Spirit, who you gave to us as a seal, keeping us safe and empowering us for your great work until your return. Please, Father, I pray this coming year that your Spirit would stir in our hearts a desire to know you, trust you, and see your love, mercy, and faithfulness proclaimed throughout the land. Lord, our heart's desire is that your name would receive the glory that it is due. I pray, Father, that our church would sing the song of your glory and that its beauty would compel people to join the singing with all the redeemed. As Christ prayed, Father, that we would continue to make you known to the world in order that the love you have for Christ might be in the world and that Christ himself would be in them, Father. Please, Father, strengthen our faithfulness, Lord. You have given us the Spirit. You have given us evidence. You have given us salvation, Father. You have empowered and emboldened us with everything we need. I pray that you would just strengthen our faith, Father, that we would step out in your power, not our own. For your glory, we pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.
And is that not good news? Isn't that great news going forward? My prayer for you this morning is that God would elevate a God-centered, gospel-rooted, Jesus-focused confidence that he's going to use us for the joy of the nations. That we would get our eyes on him, so having our eyes on him, we could forget about ourselves and get out there and share the love of Jesus Christ. My prayer is going into 2018 that God would do unexpected things in your life. And that God would stretch you beyond where you're at, that he would take you into zones of uncomfortableness so that he might elevate your affections and your joy in him. He knows what he's doing. He's appointed it. I trust that God will do that. So I want to thank everybody. Can we give a hand to everybody that participated this morning? This was technically the last Christmas services that Paul is officially our worship pastor. So I want to give thanks to did a very good job, did a great job this morning, brother, and did it in us and continues to serve Waterbrook out of love for the Lord and the church family. And so it's just been a real joy for me to continue to walk alongside. I mean, Paul's, you know, is caught in that middle ground of being really relieved another Christmas is over and at the same time feeling that this has got is substantial and important nonetheless. So Paul, will you come and lead us in song, bring your team up, and let's close off where however you want to do it, brother, either way, whatever it works. Okay, well, let's sing the first song that we sang this morning. Let's all stand together and give that worship team time to change the song, and we'll sing the first song from worship this morning. What a great last line to get on your mind going out of 2017 into 2018. Who is the Lord Most High? His name is Jesus, right? He reigns over your life. He reigns over my life. He reigns over our neighborhoods, and he reigns over the nations. My dear friends, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Let's pray together. Our God, as we step out today into the cold, brisk day, we acknowledge that you, dear God, make it cold and you make it warm. But you, dear God, have the capacity not only to change the temperature around us, but you can give life where there is no life. And you can cause things to spring forth in joy and justice where it is impossible for legislation and governments to do this. And so we just commit ourselves to the kingdom of Christ, and we pray, dear God, may your name, may the name of your Son be exalted to the ends of the earth. That's our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friends. Have a good day in the Lord as you go.
Thank you for listening today. To find out more about our church, go to www.wbfellowship.org. If you have a prayer request today, we'd love to hear from you. Go to our website and click Prayer Ministries. Have a blessed day.